This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Checkpoint Intimates.
Welcome to another episode of Checkpoint Intimates, your weekly gaming podcast where two members of the Checkpoint team go one-on-one and get deep and intimate on a particular gaming topic. My name is Elliot. I'm joined by Cameron, who's shaking his head at me.
I'm shaking it. You and your intimates, getting so intimate.
Yeah, well, you got to get into it, or what's the point? Get into the intimates.
Oh, dear.
This week on the show, we want to talk about Twitch integration into video games and how a lot of games now are being developed with Twitch in mind and putting in features into their game to allow for Twitch integration so that streamers can play with their audience.
Yeah, less like it's built so that it's like bait to get streamers to play it so it's more Twitch friendly, but more things where your viewers can interact with you in some way outside of just talking to you or doing a poll or that kind of thing.
Because obviously Twitch has become massive in the gaming world. It allows people to watch their favorite streamers live and just watch them play video games and interact with their viewers. And a lot of games have harnessed that power of Twitch and actually allowed the viewers to have an impact on the game the Twitch streamers are playing. So it'll be cool to talk about some of those examples. Most recently, I've seen it pop up in a couple of games I've been playing, The Darwin Project, as well as Warhammer Vermintide 2.
Yeah, just options to play in a Twitch-friendly version. Mm-hmm. So you click on that and it'll automatically link everything up to Twitch for you so that it just, you know, you're not using other systems to get that information out there, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So let's start with Vermintide 2, because this game we've both played. Unfortunately, neither of us are Twitch streamers, so we haven't played it in that capacity, but I have watched some streamers play it, and just so I could get an understanding of exactly what the Twitch integration is. And basically what it is you're playing through Vermintide like usual. You're going through the campaign, killing all the rat people you want, and basically the Twitch viewers just get to put effects on the game, so they can help spawn in certain zombies. They'll choose, for instance, what kind of boss is moving in and what time that comes in. But then they can also do specific effects on the people who are playing, so they can be both nice and bad. So they can give them a med kit, for instance, or they can do something just to screw them over.
And knowing the internet, I'm sure that always works out so well.
Knowing the internet, they'll continuously use it to harass the Twitch streamers in any way they possibly can to make sure they lose.
It's that weird thing where, for some reason, Twitch, everyone loves watching people suffer on Twitch.
Well, I just assume that the entire user base of Twitch are just trolls at this point, because that just seems to be how everything goes down. So any opportunity to troll the Twitch streamer will be taken and used against them.
It's that interesting thing, like, of the crowd mentality that would come with that. Mm-hmm. The decision, like, even if you're like, oh, I'm gonna be nice, you know, it doesn't take long to be like, oh no, everyone else is voting to be mean, I'll be mean, let's be mean.
So a lot of these the ways you interact with the Twitch streamer is through these votes, obviously.
Yes.
So a vote will be presented to you with multiple options, and as like all the Twitch viewers will vote on which outcome they want, and that will have the impact on the game. So it's a way to get every single person involved and active and participating towards, you know, either helping or hindering.
It's that thing, though, as well, where we talk about being trolls and being hindering and all that, but obviously it's been built with this in mind, so obviously we built with a good balance in mind as well. Mm-hmm. You can't just, bile troll, bile troll, bile troll.
Well, a game that is well developed with Twitch integration will understand exactly what the audience is going to do and find ways to make sure that they can't exploit everything and make it really terrible.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, the reason developers put this Twitch integration within their games is because they want streamers to be streaming their games.
It's advertising.
Every time a streamer is playing your game, there are thousands, if not tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people watching your video game in action. And we see it time and time again with the games that get massive on Twitch just get massive in general.
They blow up.
the Twitch streamers really are, like, they're just huge influencers in that space.
Yeah, Let's Play in general is hugely influential. It's funny when we go to media events and you say that you work in media journalism and the amount of people, like, in video game journalism, and you keep meeting people who are like, oh, yeah, I'm a Twitch streamer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, that's like a thing now. Like, you get invited to special events because by being there, you are basically free advertising for them and they're treated by like royalty.
Yeah. And so, look, there's a tiny bit of salt when like a Twitch streamer gets like priority, but at the same time, like 100% understandable. Like these people have an impact on the industry in a massive way, just as big as anybody else, if not bigger at this point, because they are able to bring in such a huge audience to listen to them and to watch their product that suddenly their influence is so widespread.
But I think smart, modern, especially indie games, this is building this into their game and mm-hmm. making it something that is interactive for Twitch, which then helps the Twitch streamer bring in more viewers, because people would, I think, I'd choose to watch that over just sit and watch someone hack away in Skyrim right. for hours on end.
So if you've got the option between a game that doesn't have Twitch interaction versus a game that has Twitch interaction, you're always going to want to watch the game with Twitch interaction because you can actually do things.
Yeah, people like making an impact.
Not to mention, people love the celebrity, right? They love to watch the person. They're not just doing it for the game. They're doing it for the person. And to be able to interact with that person at any level must be like quite a nice feeling.
Yeah, and so I think especially for indie titles, you know, indie, which might not have as big a marketing budget as, you know, AAA titles, they can't do the mosaics on the side of Melbourne Central, mm-hmm. like so many of the Ubisoft games have recently. Yeah. But
I'm seeing Far Cry 5 everywhere.
Oh my god. There's still a Shadow of Mordor, Shadow of War tram that goes down my street constantly. I'm like, it's over. Like, you don't need to advertise anymore. But those games that don't have that kind of advertising money to slather their name everywhere, this is a digital version of that. And if you make a good, fun game that's a kind of singular experience that can then tone into this crowd mentality with your celebrityism of a Twitch streamer, that's big bucks.
It's just marketing, right? They've found a way to do marketing on the cheap, but also incredibly effectively.
Look at Vermintide and how it's sold versus the fact that none of my friends knew it was coming.
Yeah, so Vermintide 2 is a super good example of that because it is an indie game. It is a smaller game. It doesn't have a big marketing budget. Nope. And yet a lot of people have picked it up regardless because they make smart decisions.
I saw a thing at E3 last year where they showed some in development footage. And I was like, oh, that's probably 2 years away. And then I remember when you were like, hey, Cam, here are some of the indie reviews coming out this month. Does any of them interest you? And I'm like, oh my god, Vermintide 2 is coming. I didn't know that was coming. And there was no word about it. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it has blown up.
Yeah, yeah.
It has done so well for itself. And I think Twitch is a big part of that.
Oh, absolutely. Another game I've been playing a lot recently is a game called The Darwin Project. And this has kind of gone for a twofer to harness the power of Twitch. So not only do they have Twitch integration, but the entire game is built around like esports. Like they want to become a big esports thing. They want to be viewed as an esport. And by doing that, they really, really want people to watch and view their game. Like that's their whole thing. This is where they're going to get their big bucks and get all their players in because they want people to tune into a Twitch stream and, you know, participate and interact, and they want people to tune in as an esport like viewer.
As the fanaticism of Battle Royale, the original movie, and the love of the Hunger Games films have shown, we as audience for some reason relish the chance to watch these people even in this sense digitally take each other out.
Yeah, we want human suffering and survival. We love it. Well, the whole premise of the Darwin Project is that they are inmates on death row basically, and they're getting their last fight for survival just for the crowd, just to like as a fun thing to watch.
Wasn't that terrible Death Race movie essentially the same thing? And that movie Gamer was the same thing. They're all death row inmates, apparently just keep getting thrown into these fights.
I mean, look, if you're going to throw somebody into a death match, may as well be death row inmates.
That's okay.
You have my endorsement.
That's a controversial statement. Anyway, what is the actual integration though? Like, what's the control?
Yeah, so essentially, it's similar to Vermintide, but what happens is in the Darwin Project, there is an AI director who is player controlled, and they fly around the map. They watch the the players unfold in their you know, mania of the battlefield, but they also control everything. So yeah. The zones will slowly close off one by one, and they're choosing which zones are closing so they can deliberately funnel certain players towards each other, or they can do certain things like create like a nuclear explosion in one zone or an anti-gravity field in one zone, or they'll do stuff like they'll specifically spawn these big powerful buffs called technology. I think they're called technology. They might have another name, but basically it's a big, powerful crafting resource.
Okay,
and yep. All the players will want to rush at that, because as soon as they grab that, they have access to these like special abilities that they may not otherwise have. And then on top of that, the AI director can also just like straight up buff somebody by giving them a shield or healing them or speeding them up. And yeah, and they can, the other cool thing they can do is they can just fly in next to you and whisper things in your ear, because the game is like there is voice communication, but it's
distance. One where you can,
yeah, it's based on distance. It's
a big thing in gaming lately, so when someone gets close, you can suddenly hear them.
Yeah.
It's very creepy.
So they can actually give information, and basically what the Twitch integration does is it takes over that role of the AI director, and all of a sudden it's the audience who are voting on what all those things that happen. So they can shut off zones and they can spawn the powerful crafting ingredients. Right, so
it still comes down to that kind of community vote and the decision together as a group to do things.
Yes, not that I've participated in it, but that is my understanding, yeah.
Okay.
So it's like they've clearly designed it for Twitch viewers in mind, which is cool, because this is the kind of game a Twitch streamer will want to pick up. I think it's the kind of competitive game that's really fun and engaging to watch, and you can like watch your Twitch streamer and like be like rooting for them and voting for them and like trying to help them out or hinder them.
It's that thing where this is very opposite to Vermintide, which is a completely cooperative game. This is a competitive game, so you're going to find your favorite Twitch streamer, and maybe you could end up with like 5 different popular Twitch streamers in there.
Yeah.
And their fan base. Let's be clear, Twitch streamer fan bases can get ravenous.
Oh, yeah.
And so them taking on each other, trying to, like, help each other, that would become quite a sight. Like, let's get some... This is what I want. Let's get all the big names in Twitch streaming, put them all into one Darwin project at the same time, and just watch the fans will actually murder each other in real life.
Oh, yeah. Oh, some shit will go down undeniably.
Yeah, for sure.
And what also happens at the start of that game, I should also mention, is that all the Twitch audience votes, and you vote on, like, the match favorite, basically, and then that match favorite has, like, a bounty on their head.
Oh, so you have to be like, okay, I think this person's totally going to win it, then everyone has to go and take them out to get more points.
And then everyone knows that this person has the bounty, and suddenly you get rewards for killing them, and...
That's mean. That's so really mean. I love it. Another one coming out, which is currently in Kickstarter, I believe. The Kickstarter may have ended, I'm not sure.
The Kickstarter has definitely ended. The current progress of the game is that it's playable, but it's not accessible by everybody, because the entire premise of the game is it's built for Twitch streamers.
Yeah,
if you don't have a Twitch audience, you can't play this game appropriately.
Yeah. It's called ICU. It's a single-player game, unlike the other ones, which are all kind of multiplayer games. But the whole point of it is that you are basically in this horror setting. It has very slender man vibes with something's following you. There are these really creepy mannequin stone statue things with big gaping maws.
Yeah, and they totally do this weeping angel thing where if you're looking at them, they stop moving. And then when you turn away, around, they come at you. Yeah, yeah.
But then, like, sometimes when you're looking at them, they come at you anyway.
Look, don't question things.
But basically what happens is you are running around, you have to go to these different cabins. And when you go into the cabin, you hit a button and a vote opens up. And it's 2 different status effects that will affect you that the group votes on. The one that we were watching in a video today, one was shrink and drunk. And so you either become drunk and you lose your vision, or you get shrunk to a small size. They chose shrink, and then he was tiny, trying to run around. He was like the size of a child. But then he went to the next cabin, pushed the button, and they all voted for drunk. So then he was a drunk child in the woods running away from these killer statues.
Yeah.
It looks like it's designed to be super creepy.
Yeah, and it is kind of creepy too, and it's not just these votes that happen, because there was also moments just within the game where people could directly impact the Twitch streamer just in the moment. So, for instance, once he was very quite scared of this thing chasing him, so he's stopped and he's staring directly at this weeping angel type creature.
He's got a dead for rights. It's not going to move. Yeah. He can see it. He's fine.
He's fine until somebody slaps him and he like just pushes straight towards the creature, freaks out and starts running away.
And the thing is obviously free from his vision and starts chasing him.
So
and there was, like, I think there was another one where someone hit him and he spun around suddenly.
Yeah.
And the thing got, he lost sight of it.
So it is this really cool idea, right? Because all of a sudden you're playing a horror game and it's not the game that's scripted for you. The actual action of the game is a lot dependent on your, like, the Twitch viewers. And it's really cool because all of a sudden you have these real human people making decisions on the fly to impact your performance.
It takes it from a real, like, monster horror movie into a real psychological horror. Like, it makes you feel like you're not in control of your own body. Exactly. That's a real psychological thing to do to a player.
Yeah, it's really clever. And I can see, like, a bunch of other horror games taking on aspects of this because, you know, horror is scary because it's unpredictable. You know what's unpredictable? People.
Like, especially people en masse.
Like, video games, you can kind of learn the repetition, system. And all of a sudden, like, you might be playing this incredibly scary game, but you know what happens.
Yeah.
Like, but in this, who knows?
Alien Isolation can terrify you, but you can learn how to fight that alien. You can figure out its systems. Not very easily. It'll take a while, but you put a human behind that, and no, thank you.
And there are plenty of other examples of Twitch-integrated games. We went through a massive list, so many that we're not even going to bother mentioning them because it just feels like it's going to be a bigger and bigger and bigger thing as long as Twitch stays relevant, which it will for, you know, the foreseeable future. And we're going to continue to see video games released with this Twitch integration, which is really healthy for their life cycle, to be honest. It keeps them going. It's not just about getting people in there. It's about keeping them staying and participating.
And that's a good way. You know how so many games want to be a service these days? They want to go on for a long time, a period. Mm-hmm. So instead, they drip feed you the content instead of just giving it to you. This is another way to do that.
Yeah.
This is another way to expand the lifetime of your game so people don't just pick it up, put it down. You have this, people will keep going back to it to rehash on the systems and the interactiveness.
Yeah. And while I think for the vast majority of these games, it's a good thing they have Twitch integration, at the same time, like, I don't want it to become so widespread or have so much focus on it that it takes away from other aspects of the game. Because that would be my fear, when it goes too far and all of a sudden, as somebody who doesn't watch many Twitch streams, I'm having a less enjoyable time with this game.
It's that reality that gaming, as much as we love it, has a tendency to pick up the worst parts of a trend and force run it on it. All players.
Yeah.
You know, motion sensor gaming was a big thing for a while that no one ever asked for.
Loot boxes,
microtransactions, DLC instead of unlockables.
Season pass. I never wanted the season pass
The season pass to become a thing. But it's those kind of things that have continued to extend, so we need to be very careful about how it's embraced by AAA gaming, I think.
Yeah, well, that's going to be the key, right? Because AAA gaming finds ways to abuse.
finds ways to ruin everyone's fun.
So it's like, it might be all fine and dandy right now, but where Twitch integration is in a year, 2 years, whatever, from now, that's kind of like, that's the tentative, like, oh no, what are they going to do with it? But for now, Twitch integration, really cool thing, as long as it's, you know, in one in every 10 or 20 games.
As long as it remains balanced, I can see it fun in really simple games.
Yes.
Games with simple premises that aren't too convoluted.
Sure. Yeah, just don't ruin, like, The Last of Us 2 by having alternative endings depending on your...
All the Twitch viewers vote on who Ellie's mother really was.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Unfortunately, that is all the time we have. We've been talking all about Twitch integration in video games. Cameron, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for getting intimate with me, Elliot.
You're more than welcome. This has been Checkpoint Intimates, and make sure you tune back next week for some more intimate goodness.
This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.